Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, wow. Melbourne, Australia certainly has got some picturesque bridges. The one I was thinking about was actually in Sydney. It was in Sydney, Australia. Mm. Let's always like to make those kind of corrections.
Diamond, you're doing a great job.
We welcome corrections here. Also, from the text line, cheerleaders, flag teams, mascots, and drum lines all add to the experience. And I wouldn't necessarily agree to that. Maybe in a high school or college game, I'm a band guy in those kind of games. You look at the Stanford band, the Cal band, Ohio State, Michigan. Those are unbelievable bands putting on a great show. That doesn't happen at the pro level. Cheerleaders, come on now. Do they really add anything to the game that you're watching in person? The answer's no. Come on.
Enthusiasm.
If you're a fan at the game already, you're enthusiastic.
I'm messing with you, Steve.
Right. Nothing that a neon sign 10 feet high saying make some noise can't
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
I'm all for titillation, whatever gets you excited, but I don't necessarily think that the marriage of that and our professional sports is where we need to be anymore. The glorification of certain aspects of that sexuality, I don't think you need to have in an atmosphere where you're having pro sports anymore.
And let me be clear, I'm not talking solely women cheerleaders. There are many co-ed dance teams now. I want them all out. I want them all at the pro level.
Okay. You want to get all the music out too. Just get back to an organist. One single organist playing some tunes during the break and let's play basketball.
I kind of like that too.
Yeah.
There's something that's been talked about a lot, and maybe it's talked about throughout the league, but I just hear it as it relates to the San Francisco 49ers. And because they're playing the Patriots and Cam Newton, I'm starting to hear it already. And here it is. The 49ers defense, I'll tell you what, they have trouble with mobile quarterbacks. Who the hell doesn't? Who does not have trouble with mobile quarterbacks? It's like saying the Warriors have trouble with length on defense. Well, no kidding. Every team has trouble with length on defense. I got news for you. Kyler Murray does not present any more of a problem to the 49ers than he does to any team in the NFL. That's the nature of a mobile quarterback. So the one thing I'm pushing back on is that the 49ers supposedly or apparently have more problems with a mobile quarterback than other teams. Does anybody really believe that? Do you guys really believe that that's a hole in the 49ers defense as opposed to other teams?
I don't necessarily think that that's a fair comparison. You could look at the stats and see how much worse they are against those quarterbacks, but they're facing some of the best, some of the most mobile. You're going to face Kyler Murray twice and Russell Wilson twice. And these guys are weapons against any team, any defense. And when you face Lamar Jackson, which they won't this year, but last year in that situation, certainly him having the year he had with 1,000 yards rushing, he got everybody. So You can look at the sample and compare defenses. Ultimately, you can play bend but don't break against those kinds of quarterbacks. And I thought the defense played well enough against Arizona. It was the special teams, ultimately, that hurt them early in that game.
Yeah, and you know what, Stoddy? I think it's going back to last year when they were so dominant, you couldn't find a weakness. And then we saw those two close games, even though they pulled it out. But Kyler Murray was at the helm, elusive. Jared Goff, not this past week, but last year, Saturday night, they were running some bootlegs, and it worked in the first half. And then I think of Mahomes in the Super Bowl. But, Stoddy, you may have a point.
How about Lamar
Jackson?
The end of the they did a hell of a job against Lamar Jackson.
I was just about to,
20 points they held Baltimore to last year. I just think the mobile quarterback is somebody who's given a lot of defenses problems. They're not just specific to the San Francisco 49ers. Anyway, I don't know if I'm really going to pull my hair out, but that's just something that to me.
Fitzpatrick had a couple runs. Maybe they threw that in there.
That's just something you say. That's just something you say. A 49ers, tough mobile quarterbacks. Well, okay, everybody's got trouble with them. That was my only point right there. So getting back to the 49ers defense, guys, Robert Saleh was talking last week about how he thought they were a top 10 defense with the ability to get to top 5. It sounded a little funny at the time, but after the Rams game, you think Saleh can actually pull that off and get this team not only into the top 10, but maybe into the top 5 overall?
I can't see the top 5 because of the glaring stat that kind of hurts him right now, and that's sacks. You're not generating enough pass rush to allow your secondary to get not cheap interceptions, but interceptions where the quarterback is under such duress over such a period of a game that he's going to give you 2 or 3 that you're not getting right now. Because we saw Jared Goff, and you can go look at the highlight of all his throws. For the most part, Goo, he was able to stand and throw. The secondary had 9 pass breakups because they had a great night closing on the football and getting an arm. And Goff threw some pretty good passes. Yeah. The coverage was good. The pass rush wasn't the reason that the Niner pass defense played well. So because you're not getting a consistent pass rush, I don't think you can be top 5.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And like I said, I really feel this way watching the game back. Goff left a lot of chicken on that bone. And I just fast forward, Steiny, to Russell Wilson. If he's not getting pressure on him, he's going to pick you apart. Aaron Rodgers. Now, I'm not saying they can't win those games, but there's no way in hell. And I get what Sal is saying. I got confidence in my guys and my unit. But if you don't got those dogs, as Lo Neal says, up front to hunt the quarterback, and he can sit back there and take a shower – at some point, that's going to catch up with you.
Yeah. By the way, I want to make it clear. Somebody asked me if I put mascots into the group with cheerleaders and drum lines. Absolutely not. Absolutely.
Oh,
mascots are completely different.
Thank you.
Great mascots add something very meaningful to a game. The average mascots, that's a different story. But, yeah, you talk about the Philly Fanatic, the San Diego Chicken, Rocky in Denver, the Nuggets mascot.
Man.
Oh, gosh. Yes, they can bring a lot to the table. They're exempted.
Thunder, rest in peace.
Oh, yeah.
Thunder 6 feet under now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, RIP. Have you ever been in one of those outfits, Tibbs? Have you ever been a mascot, Stoney?
What do you think, Guru? Guru, let me ask you this about the mascots in general. Do they tend to be shorter people? Yes, we'll check that box for different clause.
Yeah, I get where you're going.
Do they tend to be overtly extroverted? We'll check that box. In general, are they relatively unattractive and Oompa Loompa-ish? We'll check that box as well. So
I'm laughing with you, not at you.
And add in my high tolerance to heat and my lack of self-esteam. I think
that's
the answer
is
yes.
30 for 30 on the guys and gals in those outfits. Like,
that dog might
have
just walked itself. I feel profiled, but accurately so.
Well, Guru, just to give you a little insight on the mascot business, back in 88. We'll call it 1988 when I was starting my budding journalism career.
I love the young people.
I was sent out to Reading Municipal Stadium where the AA Philadelphia Phillies were taking on Camden. And There was a special guest appearance that night by the famous San Diego Chicken. I got to interview the Chicken, Ted Gianolis, if you remember, that was his name. And Guru, would you believe he would not allow photographs of himself without the outfit on?
DTs.
He did not want anybody to see who the person was who was actually underneath the famous San Diego Chicken mascot. And then it was wow. 10 years. It was about 5 years later when my friend Stan Kazawa and I once got into a fight, and we were talking about my job, and he took a shot at me, and he goes, "Steiny, you interviewed a chicken. What kind of journalist can you be? You interviewed a chicken."
Low blow.
So my guy Stan Kazawa, I still remember that to this
Congratulations.
Day. Yeah, you're welcome. Mount mascot Moore's got to have the chicken.
The chicken.
The fanatic.
No doubt. Yeah.
We can 888-957-9570 with the filling out the rest of Mount Rushmore on the mascot issue. Okay, here's the one thing that Andy Reid was talking about yesterday. So the Chiefs, all right, they went out and got Le'Veon Bell, nice little running back. And here's what I want you to listen to what Andy Reid said about why they went out and got Le'Veon Bell, because it couldn't help but remind me of the Niners.
We don't turn away good players, and he's a good one. So it's exciting to have him around, and we'll see how he does. He's got to get in the playbook and learn everything, but he's a pretty smart kid and been doing it a long time. So I don't think I'll have a problem with that.
The San Francisco 49ers had a shot last week to kick the tires on Bell and maybe shore up their running back position. I never thought he was a viable option because I just don't feel that's the avenue Lynch and Shanahan like to go down. What do you guys think about that? Because is it as simple as, hey, Andy Reid will take a chance on a guy, and, you know, 49ers don't like to do that. Is it that simple?
Well, I think it's more about the type of running back that they're looking for. And in this particular case, I think it's maybe the nature of Le'Veon Bell and what potentially could come of his arrival in San Francisco, because he's not in a spot where he walks in now and he gets featured back status. If he goes to New York, maybe a team that's desperate, the Giants, for a back, yes. But you know, coming to San Francisco, it's a stable. And if you're a part of a team, the number one most important thing is to sublimate your ego, put self second, and realize that you might not get many carries in a particular game. And that's the role he would have to play in San Francisco. And maybe there's a concern that he's not that kind of player, having held out before, having, you know, bristled with the team in New York and getting cut from there. So it's not as easy to me as just go ahead and throw him in the mix. And maybe Andy Reid and that system has a higher tolerance for guys than it's going to be in San Francisco.
And I've always said, just as crazy as this sounds, I love Andy. If he was here, I'd hug him. I'd give him that bro hug, because he has his eyes focused on the prize. This is not CYO Dibs. This is not the Cub Scouts. This is not a personality. You know what I mean? None of that matters. These dudes, some of them are gangsters. They're bad guys, but they got skills. And you know who else is taking chances? Is Bill Belichick. And what that tells me is they're secure in their locker room environment that they have, that they could go bring those guys in. And for Shanahan and Lynch, we always hear about the culture, and I'm not dissing them, but I just wonder how much of the Reuben Foster fiasco has them not willing to take on maybe a character guy. And oh, by the way, the Niners don't need this dude, but he'll be available in 2 weeks. That's Antonio Brown's Tony and Dibs. So there's going to be a team, I believe, that's going to take a chance as he gets real in the field here, and teams need help. And if they needed it to wide receiver position, they're going to be like, you know what? We can make this guy put his best foot forward. So stay tuned for that news. But outside of Le'Veon Bell, Mostert was the man at that point, Steiny. So there was no – they didn't have to have the vision of, oh, what if he gets hurt, we could have him. You know what I mean? Mostert was moving and grooving.
Mostert's average carries per game, probably less than 15. So it's not like you were bringing Le'Veon Bell onto a team where he wasn't going to get the ball. 888-957-9570 is the number. It's not so much about Le'Veon Bell, but do you think there is something to the 49ers just aren't interested in these kind of players because of their culture? And if that's the case, would you like to see them take a chance on some players every once in a while, feeling like they have the locker room to handle it? I'll say this. I don't know that they have the locker room to handle it. And the reason I say that is because just 2 weeks ago, we were talking about leadership and that the 49ers may have a little bit of a leadership vacuum. Richard Sherman being out is obviously a big deal. When Garoppolo was banged up, that's a big deal. Kittle had been out. So maybe the 49ers locker room isn't as strong as we think and can handle a Le'Veon Bell.
I think anytime you bring a player in mid-season, there's a great amount of risk in the National Football League. Baseball, you're going to hit. You bring your own bats, BYOB, and go out there and play left field. Left field is left field. Basketball, you got to learn the plays, the sets. A lot of them is mostly similar, the terminology, the flow. There's a little bit of a learning curve. Football is a whole different ball game. Scheme, terminology, design, all of that and more. So I think just on the surface, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think
I will.
Offensive football, of course you will. Stiney, I wasn't saying to do it now.
Oh,
and that,
I'm sorry.
I guess, was a crutch for me to get to the tail end of my 40 seconds.
It.
Because, of course, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. You and I go back almost two decades now. But I think I'm right on this, Goo. Offensive football player would be the toughest in-season trade transition in all of pro sports. Please, correct away, Mr. Steinmetz.
Emmanuel Sanders on the phone, Mr. Ooh. Dibley.
Okay, wide receiver and a veteran player.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. A point
Thank
for
you.
You. What about
you.
He's really a
All right, I'm out of here, guys. Yeah. I'll catch you tomorrow.
So for Emmanuel Sanders, how much of the offense does he have to learn? Basically, there's nine routes on the route tree, and you know it's just getting on the same page as your quarterback. It's really the terminology of the playbook and the formations. And I don't believe Kyle, and please, again, Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is a safe space here. He didn't play immediately his first week. I thought he sat out a week and then jumped in. Please, correct me.
He had the bye thing. He had the double bye.
First drive, actually. He caught a touchdown.
First drive of the first game after he got traded?
Yeah, he played all 17 weeks last year.
First play of the first drive?
Yeah, they built the offense around him.
Okay, he was around for a couple plays before. Yeah. So he definitely got phased in, Steiny, over the course of the better part of one drive. I rest my...
I get your dibs.
I got to go. No, I think I left the oven on.
Yeah. Hey, Steiny, how about this, though?
The old I left the oven on.
I love it. It's not what Dibs is saying, but I got to tell you, Steiny, I think Sherman qualifies as that guy we're looking for that we're talking about. I know it wasn't midseason, bringing a guy into their environment and it working. I know, you know, he had the Aaron Andrews thing after the NFC Championship, but he hadn't gotten trouble off the field, if that's what qualifies Dibs. But Richard Sherman was a boisterous personality that would challenge the coach, you know? So – that's worked out, and I think he is a leader. It's just a damn shame that whatever's ailing him, his calf, he you know, we can't see him play.
I'm gonna make a prediction here.
Do we go drum
Bell.
Roll for this, or
you may.
Do we dress up predictions, or do we just let him in drop? Thank you. I like a little lead up.
I like this.
A foreplay.
Le'Veon Bell will not help the Kansas City Chiefs at all, barring an injury to one of their running backs. Le'Veon Bell, they have six weapons as it is. They have enough trouble spreading the ball around. They don't need another guy that they feel pressure about to get the ball to. So
what if somebody goes down, Stein?
Do you listen to me, Darryl? Do you even listen? Do you watch?
You said barring injury.
Did you look?
You said barn.
Thank you. Thank you.
You did.
So
I got overzealous, Dibs. Go ahead. I hear you, Stein.
I just
get shot down because you're overzealous.
I just don't think that he's I don't think he's going to help the Chiefs unless they have a significant injury. That's just me. By the way, you saw the Cardinals last night against the Cowboys. How impressed were you with the Cardinals? What's that do to the NFC West? What's the pecking order, Goo? Are the 49ers better than are they better than the Cardinals?
Boy, that's a great question.
I'll say this, Dibs. I saw Kyler Murray at the beginning of that game because they didn't score in the first quarter. I know they had 38. They got some balls, some turnovers. But he was off early. But to answer your question, just from a health standpoint, I'll give them the edge. And obviously they beat you already, Dibs. But I don't think it's one of those things when they hook up in Arizona for this next game that I'm ready to say, oh, they're already where I thought they were. They're this monster. Now, right. They got some talent, but I'm telling you, I give the Niners a chance. So if they could just stay float till these games come again, they got some action when they hook up with the Birds.
What if that game was this Sunday? Because I know when they play in whatever it is, 8 weeks or something.
I would go Arizona. I'd put my money because they can't get to Murray. How are you going to get to him? When you couldn't get to him when you were whole. Right. How are you going to get to him now?
Okay. I like that quick thumbnail, the what-if game in a vacuum take, because this Patriot game, I think, Steiny, is a good example of that, because if I would have asked you Sunday right after the 49er victory, you probably felt better than you do this morning, now that you know what you know about Raheem Mostert. But if we would have gone back 4 weeks ago, before Cam got the Rona, and before they kind of slipped into this weird losing record era, you would have felt differently about the matchup then. So to that point about Arizona, once they do face the Cardinals, you got to see where this Niner team is health-wise, season-wise. What's Arizona, what's their trajectory been? And that's what makes this league so fun to me, is it's such a week-to-week proposal. And Stein, you said it when we went through the schedule, you know, they could win these games as long as you, this week, your focus is on New England, and this game is a 4-point spread, 3.5 or 4, depending on where you look. So this is a winnable ball game. One of these two teams most likely will win it. It's just how you get it done.
If you look at the Niners, okay, they're going to be without Bosa the rest of the year. They're going to be without Thomas the rest of the year. Mostert's going to be out, let's say, 3 or 4 weeks. I guess my question is, you know, assuming the 49ers start to get healthy, but knowing Bosa's not coming back, Thomas isn't coming back, most likely Dee Ford's not coming back, can the 49ers, with these season-ending injuries, the ones they have, be better than the Cardinals? That I think that's the question, and that's what – like we all think the 49ers are better than the Cardinals in week one when they were healthy. Can they be better than the Cardinals week whatever it is, 10 or 11 or 12 – knowing, well, they're definitely not going to have Bosa, Solomon Thomas, and let's say Dee Ford.
That, to me, is where the Kyle Shanahan light gets shined the brightest, because you only have to be better than Arizona one day for 3 hours out of the entire season from here to the end. You can't control what they do. You can obviously control what you do, and if you don't win some of the games in the lead-up, it doesn't matter if you're better than Arizona on that day. But that's where the coaching, to me, becomes such a big factor, because he should have the edge over Cliff Kingsbury. He's got more experience. He's coached in bigger games. He's thought of in a brighter light, at least at this point of his career. So all these games leading up to it, you have to be able to coach up your team. How do you do it against New England without Mostert and knowing that Belichick's going to take Kittle away? They're going to double
team
him.
Well, Denver did it, Dibs. Denver shocked the world and went up there and won a game. I thought they had no chance in infinity of winning, so no I'll set that as the. I thought Dibs 90. I would have bet you my left leg.
Did you get any games right last week?
I'm sorry,
went
I
2-4.
At that, but
yeah. I think you
coming
be
up
to get that
at some
out.
Point
two
today.
Four,
we will recap the pick six to see.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Who's
that's
leading right. Yeah. in our?
There we
our,
go.
Our pool.
But no, and, it's a winnable game, Dibs. I hear you, but I just don't like it. I was telling Steiner yesterday about the division. I know it's early, but you're 3 behind Seattle. But guess what? You got 2 games starting with this one in Green Bay. That if you were to drop those, by the time you get to Seattle, Steiner, you could be 5 games out.
But
you know,
only have one game, Goo, and that's where the mindset has to be. How? And if you know, if I'm Kyle Shanahan and I get to that first meeting, I'm just writing those 3 letters as big as I can on the whiteboard. How? How do
I got
we
a question
get this
for
done?
You too. So, Steiny, when is it fair or okay in your mind? Because in my mind, it's already on the table. When is it okay for the 2029ers to say the injuries caught up with us? Or are you saying at any juncture, you two, this season, that can never be used, Goo?
Well, let's see. Let's see what happens from this point on. Here, like, you lost to the Dolphins. You lost to the Dolphins.
Blowout. Yeah, no doubt. Blown up.
I mean, that's a problem. I mean, whether you were banged up or not. Now, look, the real issue is they've lost one guy so far for the season. Probably two. Solomon Thomas, no.
I'll give you that. I'll give him.
Okay, so really they're missing Bosa and D Ford. Can they be successful if everybody else comes back but those two? I keep thinking I'm missing one more player who's out for the year, but I can't think of him off the top of my head. But in essence,
D Ford has basically been out for the year.
Right.
Sherman,
that's kind of
too.
Yeah. But
Sherman's
come,
too.
But
yeah.
But Sherman, until Sherman has okay. a setback, yeah. I'm assuming right. Sherman's gonna come back and play. By the way, coming up in 5 minutes, we got Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the Bay Area Chevy Dealers guest line. Visit Bay Area ChevroletDealers.com to find a dealer in your area. Cam Inman coming up in 5 minutes, talking San Francisco 49ers. So, what do you got, Dibs?
You
have the Andre Iguodala outstretched arms right now, and everybody knows what that looks like.
It's I don't know why I got whistled for a foul there. Exactly. I can't believe it. And shout out Iguodala for coming oh so close. Let me just hit you with this real quick, Steiny, before we get to Cam Inman. World Series tonight. It's okay. Not something we've talked a ton about.
Yeah, boy.
But the top seed in the AL against the top seed in the NL. Any intrigue at all with this World Series?
Oh, my.
Oh.
Yes. Lord. And let me tell you, this is kind of what I'm all about, Dibs. And I'm going to look into this Zoom meeting, and I'm going to shout it over these Bay Area airwaves. Absolutely, positively. I'll be honest. I am rooting for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Plain and simple. This is where I butter my bread. This is where Clayton Kershaw comes
tonight.
Through. And this is where everything you all say about guys and you all say about coaches. I know we got Cam. We have Cam every week. He can listen to me.
Guy.
He can listen to me. Coaches, players, you can never make a judgment on a player or a coach in the middle of their career. And that's why I'm looking forward to the Dodgers winning this game and spinning that narrative that you like to sell, Guru, right on its head. All right.
The rest of the world, yeah.
Let's go to Cam Inman. He's one of our main men. Bay Area News Group, and he is brought to you by the Bay Area Chevrolet Dealers. Cam, how you doing, man?
I was going to chime in and do the Chevy pitch, and then I didn't know whether I'm supposed to talk about bridges today or mascots. But I think I'm pro cheerleader. I'm not on board with that.
Okay, well we can agree. We can agree to disagree there. Here's my first question. Looking ahead to the game against the Patriots, obviously no Mostert, and that leaves Hasty, Jeff Wilson Jr. and Juszczyk. How do you think Kyle Shanahan manages that in terms of the running game as a whole?
Well, you also forgot Jerick McKinnon. So Jerick McKinnon's your starter, right? And then you, I mean, Jeff Wilson is the guy that kind of is more of the backup, the hard running guy, and Hasty's a good fast change of pace guy. So you look at that; they have options. So it's not like the cupboard's bare. And then I don't know if you noticed this, but Deebo Samuel's kind of like a running back too. And the way they use Deebo and Ayuk, it's almost like you have an extra facet to that running game. So, yes, they're losing Mostert for at least three more games. You know, he missed 2.5 games there. The offense didn't look great in those games that he missed, but they got by. And Shanahan's offense isn't predicated on one guy. It was interesting when Mostert came back a couple games ago. He had a lot of the carries, and McKinnon only got one. But I think that was kind of just to get Mostert into the groove. So, you know, with Kyle's offense, he's got to look at how to attack the Patriots defense. And I don't think he's going to be freaked out that Raheem Mostert's not there. I think everybody saw the offense looked a lot better Sunday night when Raheem Mostert was carrying the ball. He's got that extra vision and speed and everything you want out of the running back. But they've got other ways to get by. Like you said, I mean, they have George Kittle healthy. They have Garoppolo. He's got another week under his belt, had a bounce back game. You got Debo and Ayuk. You've got enough offensive weapons now where you shouldn't freak out. But I think the underlying concern from yesterday's news was that Trent Williams has an ankle issue that needed an MRI, and then you're going to be going back to a backup center again.
And tell me about that loss of Ben Garland with the high ankle, and he's likely going to go to IR as well. And what would it mean if Trent Williams was compromised? How does that affect what you're trying to do offensively with a run game that is already going to backups?
Yeah, well, you know I love talking about six-string center dips.
Love it.
The thing is, Ben Garland came back from his own high ankle sprain in week two. And then the last three, four games, he played pretty darn well. I mean, the line was getting a lot of flack, but I thought Ben Garland was playing okay. And now you're bringing Ronis Grasu back in there. He was in there towards the end of the game on Sunday night. So they have a veteran there, so that's good. In terms of Trent Williams, he finished out the game. I'm just kind of – that could be a big loss if you lose him, because as much as everybody liked to knock him for a couple a couple plays that he didn't play well on, he is still one of the best left tackles in football. And when you're taking that away – with a quarterback who's still recovering from his own ankle issue, that is a concern to me. And Belichick will feast on Justin School if Justin School's at left tackle. Belichick will identify whatever the weak spot is in the offense. But, Kyle Shanahan knows that. It's a fun chess match that these two are going to play out. And obviously, if you want to go back and rehash Shanahan in the Super Bowl with the Falcons against Belichick, have at it, because I have a feeling that we're going to be talking about some of that this week. There's a lot of nostalgia going around this week with the whole Garoppolo and Belichick, and then Shanahan and Belichick. And you have these two franchises that were pillars of the league the last few years, or last year in the 49ers case. And right now they're just middle of the pack.
Cam, that was a big win. Surprised the hell out of me, and we're talking about now when this team can get back reinforcement. And I don't know, Cam, I worry by nature. What's going on? What can you tell us with Uncle Sherm? What's his prognosis?
Right. I mean, I would worry too, because there hasn't been any good news about Sherm. Ever since he kind of stepped off the stage in week two to deal with a calf injury, it's kind of, oh, well, what's going on? Oh, well, he's having treatment. Oh, well, he's not practicing yet. So there was hope that he was going to come back and play last week, and I would imagine that even if he starts practicing on Wednesday, he had some kind of treatments or injections in his knees, or in his calves, that they would probably want to see how he responds a week in practice before turning him loose. And, after the Patriots game, where I don't know if he's necessarily needed in this kind of game, it's not like the Patriots have a lot of great wide receivers out there. I would imagine he's going to want to come back and play the following week in Seattle to make sure that he's ready to go to play up there because of all the pride of his legacy up there and maybe wanting to play that game.
Cam Inman joining us on 95.7 The Game. He works for the Bay Area News Group, covers the San Francisco 49ers. You mentioned Debo Samuel and the 49ers maybe trying to use him like a running back. And you think there's any chance Debo Samuel will line up at all in the backfield?
Well, they lined him up there on at least one of his plays last week where he kind of came in motion, he lined up next to Garoppolo, and then he reversed field and almost kind of caught a screen pass off to right. The left wing. And they use him a lot of different ways, and that's because he's a very physical runner. I mean, it's when he wasn't in there the first few weeks of the season, I think that kind of disrupted a lot of what they could do offensively. And now that he's you have those options with them to keep the defense guessing how they're going to use them. It's big. Now, the 49ers did not use him in a way Sunday night where he was going downfield to catch passes. Everything he was catching was behind the line of scrimmage. And so that's just an element that maybe they haven't exposed yet, and they haven't tested out Garoppolo's arm yet in terms of that. And that's something that they're going to have to do, because they're going to – they're going to be crowding that line of scrimmage like crazy now that they saw what they did against the Rams. But everybody's a little bit different how they play defense, and that's where Shanahan earns his money, is how to scheme against whatever defense he's going to see. And, you know, the thing I've loved watching Belichick's defense for 20 years is very unpredictable. You're not exactly sure how he's going to attack you, whatever kind of front he's going to have. But, I mean, right now he does not have a lot of top-notch defenders on that side. And his offensive line is jumbled. So if you flip the script onto that side and you talk about the mobile running back, it's almost like they're not really going to be designed runs for Cam Newton. They're going to be jailbreaks because that line's breaking down and he's going to be taken off running. And unlike these other mobile quarterbacks, he's a bigger-bodied guy. And so I think those linebackers are going to have to stay alert. And if they don't have Jaquaski Tartt, you're going to notice it this game, because Tartt's pretty good coming up in that run defense package to stop guys like that.
He and Fred Warner putting a lot of combo tackles in that
yep.
run defense. Dante Pettis, back-to-back healthy scratches, likely will be again. Does he offer any value at the trade deadline? And what are you hearing about the Niners potentially adding a piece here with the deadline 2 weeks away?
Well, with Pettis, I think that ship has kind of sailed. Yes, I think they will want to unload him as best they can in the next couple of weeks, try to get something for him, because they have so many wide receivers on this roster right now. And he's obviously a healthy scratch, and he was kind of there as a return specialist role, but that never really took off those first couple games. And now you have Richie James back, so you don't necessarily need that, and see if you can get something for him. And you know, Shanahan talked about the trade scenarios yesterday, and I thought it was interesting to hear him say how much they value draft picks, because they absolutely do need to use their draft picks right. The fact that they had a five-man draft class this year is kind of hurting them, because all those free agents that they had spent draft picks on and via trade or the veterans they brought in, that's backfired, and they don't have a great crux of young draft guys ready to fill in as replacements right now. So they traded away a third-round draft pick for Trent Williams this last draft, but you still got all the other picks, and I think they need to use those. And they're not at the point like where they were last year, where you think you're only maybe one or two players away. This is a roster that's been gutted in half by injuries. So you're not going to be able to just bring in one or two guys and rectify things like you were last year. So I don't expect them to make any big-time moves as a buyer on the trade market. Maybe they sell away Dante Pettis, maybe Akello Witherspoon. Maybe there's somebody else that we're not thinking about, but those are the names that come to mind right now.
Cam, it would be very remiss of me if I didn't ask how you're feeling, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks. Yeah, I'm better. I'm on the rebound. I went on a morning walk this morning, walked downtown, walked over to see how my mom's doing, and then she wanted to drive me home so I didn't tire out, and I had to say, Mom, I'm fine, and I went on a resumed my walk. Everything's good.
Are you immune?
One here. There you go.
Am I immune? I hope so. I would imagine.
That's just a little joke, Cam.
Yeah. Way to go, Cam. Yeah.
There you go.
Glad to hear it, Cam. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next week, buddy.
Okay, pals. Thanks.
All right. Cam Inman, Bay Area News Group. In case you didn't know what we're referring to, Cam had COVID, and he's feeling a lot better this week, and we wish him and his family well. Absolutely, positively. Hey, the one thing I wanted to mention, did you guys see that George Kittle paid homage during his touchdown run to one of the greats of the game? I want to talk about that on the other side. And it's all sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Chilton Auto Body is open to serve the Bay Area with contact-free auto body repair options. Along with free pickup and delivery, Chilton Auto Body now offers virtual estimates and curbside contact-free service from the comfort of your vehicle. Book an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Matt Steinmetz, Dal the Guru Johnson, and Dan Dibley with you. We'll be here till 2 o'clock. Talking about the San Francisco 49ers. They play the New England Patriots Sunday in New England. And Cam Inman, who we had on earlier from the Bay Area News Group, talked a little bit about the nostalgia in this game. You got Jimmy Garoppolo, a former Patriot, You got Belichick, who went up against Kyle Shanahan when Kyle Shanahan was an offensive coordinator for the Falcons in the Super Bowl. What's your biggest topic or theme for this game, guys? I'm trying to think. When you write a term paper, what's the nut graph, as you would call it? That's what they call it anyway, guys.
The nut graph is just taking steps forward. It doesn't matter what your personnel is from an offensive standpoint. You have enough to where you can go out and compete and beat a New England team in this spot. This is not a Patriot team that is bound for the Super Bowl. This is a team in the same spot as you. You're going back cross country. This is it for your big road trips. You're 2-0 in the Eastern time zone, so you don't have that as an excuse. I know this is a pretty long for a nut graph, but I'm just trying to brainstorm before we whittle it down to exactly what that nut graph would be. But for me, this is a winnable game. This game has never been more winnable than it is right now with the Patriots on the ropes. The weather's going to be fine, and you've got no crowd noise. This game is as winnable as ever. There's your topic sentence, Steiny. Trip to New England, more winnable than ever before.
I like that, Diz, but Stardy, I think you're going to like this one, the one that got away. And if Garoppolo leads the 49ers to victory and leads the Patriots 2-4, I mean, that'll be the first time they've been in 2-4 forever. But it'll also just mark that, you know, the infinity or the love that we hear Belichick had for Garoppolo. I'm sure he doesn't want to take this L by the guy that he wanted to hand the reins over to. So, to me, I just don't see the hoodie going 2-4, but it can definitely happen. They're in shambles. And we got to point out, too, just back to COVID, they had 8 defensive guys, that opted out on this season. So they can be had, I guess, is what I'm saying, Dibs and Steiny. So I expect a close game, but the one that got away, because, yeah, they got Cam Newton, but that's by default. Belichick, I believe, wanted Garoppolo.
So you're coming at it with a little bit of a curveball there, Dibs. From the Patriots' perspective, Guru was writing that nut graph.
That's for Kershaw tonight, the curveball, yeah.
Yeah, and I see what he's saying as far as the way that could go. But for me, in this situation where, you know, I can't see the hoodie going to 2-4 either, but then Guru just bolstered the argument by talking about how many players opted out. And offensively, this is not the Tom Brady-led Super Bowl champion Patriots. This team is somewhat muted offensively, and their defense without all those players has taken a step back. Still a good defense, but not the best defense in football. And I think you do have to add in the elements. Even though, imagine a 425 start in a non-COVID environment in October in Boston, Steiny. I've only been to Boston for, I believe it was 4 hours. I was going to fly out, and so I had a little bit of a time buffer, jumped on the train, went underneath whatever body of water that is, popped out of the Boston Garden, snuck into the garden, Guru, on the tail end of these two people who were going there for a job interview, broke away, spent about 40 minutes in the garden by myself, went back to the airport and flew out. Point being, I don't know Boston, but Steiny, what would the atmosphere be in October with a 4:30 start for a Patriot Niner game? It'd be a lot more hostile than it will be this Sunday, I bet.
No doubt. And it depends, you know, and it's sometimes you get a nice day back east in October. Very rarely, though. The weather back there can bite you. This is set up for this is set up to favor the 49ers as opposed to the Patriots. There's no doubt about it. That's just the nature of the whole COVID thing. Let's take a listen to Bill Belichick talking about his former quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy's a good quarterback. Took him to the NFC Championship last year, won the NFC Championship, so he's certainly been able to have a high level of achievement, accomplishment out there. They signed him to a contract that, you know, showed they have confidence in him as their quarterback. I don't think any of that's all that surprising. You know, I think we all know Jimmy's a good player.
You know, it's so funny. You can just tell by Belichick's tone. He didn't want to talk about Garoppolo, but he would have talked for another few minutes, I think, on George Kittle. Did you guys get that sense?
Right. because, you know, he wants Garoppolo to still be there. But out of spite and out of the relationship with ownership, he made a move that was not necessarily in keeping with where he would want to be right now from a quarterback standpoint. And that's just the cost of doing business between Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick, the fact that that decision was made. So he's seen Jimmy Garoppolo up close and personal. There's a reason why they took him, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and he said no lies, Stoney, and it's just kind of funny that Jimmy doesn't get his credit. He took his team to the NFC Championship. Not only did he do that, they won, got to the Super Bowl. So what's there to see here? But it doesn't work that way. You know, the John Dickinson line, what does it look like? To a lot of people sometimes, Jimmy's just on for the ride.
And the Janet Jackson song, What Have You Done For Me Lately, Guru? It's part JD and part Janet Jackson. I don't think those two have ever been put in the same analogy before.
I respect that.
Rhythm Nation.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that these two teams are connected, at least in a little way, because of the Jimmy Garoppolo trade. And I think the one thing when you look at those seven games that you guys talk about, the gauntlet, they win game one, and now game two. Listen, you can't take anything for granted, but game two looks far more winnable than it looked, as Dan Dibley was saying, let's say 10 games ago, for sure.
Right, even 10 days ago, when you go back to when Cam got the COVID and you saw Brian Hoyer, and you remember what that looks like, and then Cam comes back and they look rusty. I'm a little concerned of what Guru was intimating today and yesterday as well about that second game coming back after a COVID layoff, where the team, they started looking in sync in the second half of that stinker against Denver. The offense started to get something going late, so might they be able to build off of that and have a better offensive game? Is that what you're expecting, Guru, the Patriots to look better offensively with a second week back from the post-Rona Cam Newton?
Yeah, and I could make an argument that Bill Belichick, you know, the word means prepare, and they didn't have practice. They weren't at the facility, so they didn't get to prepare for Denver. But now, you know, all systems go. They'll be able to look at Jimmy, this offense without Mostert, Hasty, what have you, to try to take advantage, you know, other places. That scares me. But I got to add this caveat. Troy Aikman, 125, may be doing this game. Maybe the A-team, New England, San Francisco. I believe that probably who's doing the game.
Yeah, if he's still working.
That's the stuff I thought.
Let's go to Rob. Rob's in San Bruno. What's going on, Rob?
How you doing, Rob, man? Give it to us.
What's going on? Hey, Guru, remember I called last week? I told you about Emmanuel Mosley, man. I told you. But anyway, look, I think we underestimated Mostert in his offense. I said, if you watch that second half of the game on Sunday, you scored 3 points in the second half without Mostert. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like Mostert is a big part of this team. And then if you look at well, Mostert, he carried the ball 16 times. And I hear Matt always saying, well, maybe he only got his carry 15, 12 times a game. Yeah, that is very true. I don't think he can carry the ball over 20 times a game. That's why Cal only give it to him 15 times a game. So I feel like without Mostert on the field, I think the Niners are going to struggle. And I don't think Jimmy can throw outside the numbers. I think Bill Belichick's going to take that away. He's going to take Kittle away. He's going to take the run game away, and he's going to force Jimmy to throw outside the numbers. Jerick McKinnon is not a running back. If you watched him the last couple of games, when he hits the hole, it takes him like 30 years to hit the hole. He's no longer the Jet. You know, he done lost a few steps. So most of it is a big loss. Jimmy got to play out his mind for the Niners to get this win. Period.
Thanks for the call. I just refuse to believe that, and listen, I know what Rich is saying, but Kyle Shanahan is a great schemer, and Mostert in and of itself shouldn't prevent the 49ers from winning this ball game. It makes it tougher, absolutely, but I think they're healthy enough on offense, and they're improving enough on defense that this is a game that they can win. That's just the way I feel. It's funny because we looked at it a few weeks ago. It looked like it was going to be a really tough game. Now it looks like it's easier, but they're not 100%. But I still think it's very gettable, Guru.
Yeah, and Dibs, I was going to come at you earlier. I forgot. Rob helped me. And this is no shot to McKinnon, but he's more like the Winnebago as opposed to the Jet, because he is – he don't have that speed he had. So he's sufficing.
Man.
His funny stuff.
I'd say Rob gave you your.
I had him as a Cessna yesterday in a private chat with Joey Spadoni.
I was thinking about Uncle Billy. He had a
More of, you know, trying to keep it in the air. But if he's a Winnebago, then, man, you're not getting from point A to point B very fast. Rob said 30 years to hit the hole. That's – man, that might be a tiny exaggeration.
Hey, Stoddy, real quick, what's funny, though, to me, fellas, is he gave you your flowers on the Mostert and his carries. He was about to blow past the 25 number, and he gets hurt in the first half at 17, so we didn't get to see it, but it was going to happen.
Let's put the rat on the table. Kyle was irresponsible. Kyle,
looked at it. Wow.
It's kind of like – to me, it was kind of like, you change the rotation of Steph Curry because you really need the win. And he needed that win. And he was prepared, and I mean, I think he was prepared to run Mostert 25 times. But I don't think you can do that every game. But I do think that Kyle Shanahan coached that game with a little more desperation, because he knew if they didn't win it, they had a big, big hole to climb out of. All right, coming up next, we've got Doug Farrar. He's the NFL editor for USA Today Sports Media Group, and he knows a lot about football, and we're going to talk to him about the 49ers and the New England Patriots, and that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.